We're going to, during this time, call you the Praise and Worship Quarantine. So, thank you. I do want to say to all of our church family and friends watching, when you're here, like we are on a Sunday morning, just a few of us, the presence is still so tangible, and in fact, it has brought us back to the reality of all that we do here. First is for an audience of one, but we're so grateful that you can worship with us from your home during this time. Thank you for tuning in and worshiping with us. It's all about worshiping Him. And the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46 and verse 10. During the past few weeks, and perhaps for a few more weeks still, we have found ourselves with time on our hands. And it is time to be still and know that I am God, says the Lord. Sometimes we are limited in our knowledge of God because we are never still enough to get to know Him better. Some of you have no doubt said many times, "Oh, I would love to spend more time with God. I would love to dig into His Word. If only I had the time." Well, God has given most of us the time to be still. That means the lack of physical activity. Stop being a Martha for a few days, a few weeks, and be more like Mary and soak in the presence of God. Get into His Word. And we don't know His heartbeat many times because we're so active and physically stretching ourselves. But this is the time. Take advantage of it. Be still. And I do know that in my own life, and I'm sure it's not just for me. Now, I think God loves me best. I think I'm His favorite. But of course, I know His Word is true, and He doesn't respect one of His children more than the other. I'm sure you feel the same way. God is doing something special in your life, even during this time. It is a sensitivity in my life to the spiritual reality. And God is speaking, and He's whispering. And those of us who are being still know that He's doing something wonderful. And during the stay-at-home order, we don't know how much longer it will last, invest your time wisely in the Word. Now, in the middle of this craziness going on in the world, I am managing my expectations. During this time, while the world and all the news covering the world is bad and getting worse, I'm managing my expectations. I expect during this time God to be good to me. He's always been good. I expect Him to keep that up. I expect during this time God to provide for me and for you. He's always been a great provider. I expect He will continue to be that. I expect the favor of God on my life to make a difference, and I expect that for you. I'm managing my expectations during this crisis. I expect His storehouse to be open to me and to you because He always takes good care of His children. And God is not wasting this time. God is taking advantage of this season of crisis. And one thing He's doing during this season is purification and sanctification. God is sanctifying His people. And that's not a popular doctrine. It's not a feel-good word. But I am aware that God is purifying the church. And He's starting with His people. He's not wasting this time. He's taking advantage of this time. Now, some of you may look at things in the natural, the news on the media for the most part, and This is a popular question many people ask. Where is God in all of this? I'll tell you where he is. He's with me, and he's with you. Based on his word, he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. So if anybody asks you, where is God in all of this? You tell them he's with you, and he never leaves you. I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning about the great thing God is doing in sanctifying his church. Writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, the great apostle Paul talks about two kinds of vessels: vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And he began his conversation with his son, Timothy, by saying, when you walk into a great house, that's the term the Bible uses, imagine in your own mind, what would that look like to you if you walked into a great house? Paul said, you will notice different things. First of all, you will notice some of the furnishings, some of the decor will be made of gold and silver in a great house. But he said, you will also see vessels, instruments, furnishings made of wood and clay. And in a great house, you see all kinds of vessels, and the vessels of gold and silver are vessels of honor. The vessels of wood and clay, you see them all in the same great house. Vessels of wood and clay are vessels of dishonor. And the purpose for the word of the Lord today and every day in our life is to help us become greater vessels of honor, gold and silver in a great house. Now, the reason gold and silver are more honorable is because gold and silver has been through the fire. Some of us are feeling the heat right now, feeling the squeeze, feeling the pressure in so many areas of our life during this global pandemic. But fire burns the impurities out of us. It's at a perfect time like this, with everything so dark in the world, God takes the opportunity to do a deep work in his people. So, Paul talks to Timothy about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, all kind of vessels in the same great house. And then he said in 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that will be dishonor. If anyone cleanses, the King James Version uses a harder word, purges. If anyone purges himself from dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I want to talk to you about that subject today, sanctified and useful for the master. Now, it is one thing to be loved by God, we all are. It is one thing to be blessed by God, we all are. It's another thing entirely to be used by God. And this scripture here tells us clearly what the qualifications are to be useful to the Lord. First comes sanctification. We should be sanctified and useful for the Master. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus was praying for us, that famous prayer just before his crucifixion, and he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the word of God is the agent he uses, coupled with the working of his Holy Spirit that's already inside of us, improving us from the inside out, helping us modify our behavior by the Spirit's work and by the application of the Word. So if we're going to be sanctified, cleansed, purified, and useful for the Master, then it's the Word of God that will affect that in our lives. The word sanctify means to consecrate, to make holy, to set aside for special use. Now, if the Holy Spirit has accepted me as his project, and if the Holy Spirit has committed to making me holy, if the Holy Spirit is committed to consecrating me and setting me aside for a special use to the Master, then the Holy Spirit has his work cut out for him. I'm so human, flawed, imperfect, but I understand you are too. And yet, for every one of us who have given our lives to Christ, there is a work of purification, and God has expedited that work during this dark crisis. It's the perfect time for him to go to work on the inside of us. We're more sensitive to what he's saying right now. We're more thankful for every blessing. Some blessings I've taken for granted for decades because I always thought they would be there, and now they're gone, and I realize, oh, how grateful I will be when we're able to get back to that. And so God, during this time, if you're wondering, where is God in all of this? He's with us. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us, and he's at work on the inside of us, sanctifying us. I will say this, it's personal, means more to me than it will to anybody else probably, but a few years ago I was given an invitation for lunch and to spend 2 or 3 hours with Pastor Bill Monroe. He pastors the great Florence Baptist Temple just right down the street from Abundant Life Church. We're neighbors on the same street. And at lunch, that great man, and I love Bill Monroe, we don't pray against him or other churches. We pray for one another. And right now, especially, the body of Christ is praying for one another more than ever during this time. So much good is coming out of this. And at lunch, Pastor Monroe said to me, "Carl, when's the last time you've heard a great sermon on sanctification?" And I thought about it and realized that is a subject not many people talk about these days. Not a popular subject at all, because it insinuates there must be a holy living if you're a believer. And it is a call to a high standard of behavior if we are Christians. But I got his point, and he was right. You don't hear much about this subject anymore, because our path has taken a different turn as a nation, and in fact, as the world. We are marching by the beat of our own drummer or another drummer, and the voice of God speaking in our lives has been quieted. But he's speaking again, saying things we've never heard him say before. The first time the word sanctify is mentioned in Scripture, the first mention of this word is in Genesis chapter 2, where it said, "God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." So when God sanctified the Sabbath day, he set it aside for a special use, a special purpose. And each of us as children of God have been set aside for a special purpose. And whether we ever step into the fullness and the function of our special purpose in the Master's service will be determined by the measure of sanctification we yield to as he works in each of us. God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah and told him, "Before you were born, I sanctified you." In other words, and it's for me too and for you, not just Jeremiah, but even for you too, before you were born, God set you aside for a specific purpose. Long before you ever knew you had a purpose, God knew what it was, and he set you apart for that. Now, sanctification is a major cardinal doctrine. Some people apply that word in different ways. I've heard several. But it's different than anything else God does for us. Sanctification. Justification is what God does for us. Sanctification is what God does in us. It's a work on the inside. We get the finger of God to touch something deep on the inside of us, and the result of the touch of God's finger on the inside of us produces a modified behavior on the outside of us. I'm preaching rough, I know it, but God is saying things during this time that we were never still, perhaps, enough to hear him speak before. Now, justification is what God does for us. Sanctification is what he does in us. And since Satan cannot reverse our justification, he attempts to derail our sanctification because he knows that our sanctification is preparing us for every good work. Think about it. If I were the devil, and I wouldn't make a good devil, but if I were the devil, I would realize this. Well, here is a young man, a young woman. I have a claim on their life. In fact, my desire, the devil would say, I want them to spend forever in hell with me. But the moment that man or that woman accepts Christ, the devil right then, note, because of justification, the devil right then knows I've lost him or her forever. They can live 80 years, 100 years on earth, but the devil knows the minute they die, I have lost them forever. God now is treating them just as if they had never sinned. They've been justified by God. So then the devil says, since I know I've lost them forever, the moment they die on planet earth, they go to be with God in heaven, and I have no claim anymore on that. Then the devil thinks, but my next best course of action is to impede their spiritual maturity, to compromise their growing in the Lord, to somehow stop the process of sanctification from working in their life, because the devil knows that if the process of sanctification comes to full fruition in their life, they are prepared by God to do, the Bible says it, every good work. Not just a few good things, but prepared for every good work. Now that would make me tremble if I were the devil. That explains why sanctification is so unpopular as a doctrine and as a practice. The devil is fighting it, but God always wins. I remember, and I am being sensitive to the spiritual reality that we're facing. I see everything playing out as you do in the world, but then I'm aware there is a parallel dimension, and right above our heads, the spirit world is influencing what we see in the natural. As spirit beings, I am aware that everything that is natural and visible is being influenced right now by that which is spiritual and invisible. And so as we walk softly and sensitively in the spirit reality right now, I want to share this story with you. It was many years ago, maybe 25 or more years ago. I was a younger minister in the Lord, a younger pastor, and there was a day that pastors got together for a workshop. I forget what city it was. I forgot who the other pastors were, but it was a conference and a workshop, and we broke up into small groups and round tables. I think there were probably 10 pastors at my table, and the leader of my table would go around the room, and it was a transparent time. It was a time to share your heart with other pastors. And so the host of our round table came to me when it was my turn, and he asked me this question. Carl, what is God doing in you? And it shocked me. I was not prepared to answer that. Carl, what is God doing in you? Now, where I was at that time, I realized if he had asked me, Carl, what are you doing for God? I would have been ready. But when the question was, Carl, what is God doing in you? I stumbled and stuttered. I don't know how I got out of that meeting because I had not been monitoring what God had been doing in me. Now, there are two kinds of sanctification. One is positional sanctification. There are entire denominations that build their belief system on this doctrine. Some believe that the moment you're born again, at the same time the new birth happens and justification and salvation and redemption, all at that same time, sanctification happens at the new birth. And if sanctification means, by definition, a separation, a setting aside, separated from the world and separated unto God, then I'm a believer in positional sanctification. Positional sanctification is a once and forever separation unto God. Do I believe that? Yes, I do. So count me in. I believe in positional sanctification. And then the second category is progressive sanctification. This is defined by the effect of obedience to the Word of God on a believer's life. I believe in that too. I grew up in a denomination, and back then when people had opportunity to testify. The most popular testimony from the dear saints would be, I am saved, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Spirit and on my way to heaven, and they'd usually tag it with, pray for me that I'll forever be true. That was thrown in there. Some of you used to go to churches like that. Now, they believed that sanctification was an instantaneous thing, that the sanctifying work of God's grace happened in a believer's life all at once. I think they were referring to positional sanctification and minimizing the progressive work of the Holy Spirit in helping a believer like me and you modify our behavior as we apply the Word of God to our lives, and we become more Christ-like. So I'm a believer in both positional and progressive sanctification. I know by my own experience, God didn't give me everything at one time when it comes to purifying and sanctifying my life. I'm still progressively being sanctified as I learn obedience to the Word of God. Because Jesus said to the Father, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. So here's where we get our behavior modification instructions. From the Word of God, we are sanctified by the truth of God's Word. Now, sanctification is different, a part of it, but not the same as salvation. Salvation is birth. Sanctification is growth. Some people, not using the term sanctification, may refer to this work, this progressive work of the Spirit, as growing in the Lord, or spiritual maturity. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 says that those who are being sanctified are becoming more like Christ. And notice the progressive tense there. He did not say those who were sanctified, those who are sanctified, but he said those who are being, a progressive work. I am being sanctified and becoming more like Christ. During this global crisis, when God has given us more time to be still and know who He is and what He's doing and what He has set us apart for in terms of service to the Master, my goodness, we are still being sanctified, and I think more intensely during this time. I think it's like the merry-go-round has stopped long enough. Our heads have stopped swimming long enough for us to get a fresh focus on spirit life and hear from God in a fresh way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How committed is God the Father to my sanctification and yours? Here's the word, the one word answer. He is committed to my sanctification completely. The King James says holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And the Greek word means complete to the end. That's how committed God is to helping me and you clean up our act. And through the process of sanctification, He prepares us for every good work. Now, what sanctifies us? The Word of God, the truth. John 17, 17, Jesus praying for us said to the Father, sanctify them by your word. And your word is truth. So that's why during this time when we can be still more than ever and know more than we ever have about God, spending time in the Word. And I enjoy it early in the morning. I go to bed early and I'm up early. It's the best time of my day. David the psalmist said as he cried out to God, oh God, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. And so that works for me. And studying the Word, hearing God speak, as we hear His Word, it has an effect on our life. The Word of God and the truth of His Word performs the sanctification process in each of our lives. Sanctification is accomplished by application of the Word. That's just the way it is. We have God's Word on it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that Jesus loved the church. He loved us. And it tells us how much He loved us. It says, He loved the church so much that He gave Himself for her. He gave Himself for the church. Ephesians 5:26 follows that by saying that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Talking about sanctification in the church, a cleansing and a purification that comes by the washing of the water of the Word. Water in Scripture many times refers to natural life. When there was water, it was natural. And then supernaturally, God transformed the water into wine. Wine is a symbol of spiritual life. Water is natural life. He might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water. He washes our natural life with the cleansing agent of the Word. It's up to us to submit to that and to apply the Word to our lives as God sanctifies us. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said, God saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, if you are aware, I believe you are, as I am, that right now and every day, but especially during this season of crisis, God is purifying and sanctifying His people. It's because we have a holy calling. God saved us and called us with a holy calling. And I believe every believer, not just a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist, I believe every believer has a holy calling. I believe you could be just as submitted to the will of God for your life working on the job where God has you, because you may be the only light in that dark place much of the time. You're just as called to marketplace positions of ministry as any pastor is called to do what he does. Every believer has a holy calling. That's why God is purifying His people right now. It's because of the calling, the purpose, the good work He's preparing us to do in the future. Every believer deserves to know why God has set them apart. And if we do not know our calling, we will chase the wrong prize, we will fight the wrong enemy, and we will never know the ultimate efficiency God has designed us to have in performing in His kingdom. Sanctification empowers us to walk worthy of our assignment. Now, God has had to teach me a lesson more than one time over my lifetime. I've had to hear Him say some things more than once. I remember when I was a young man in my late 20s, maybe, working for Laverne and Edith Tripp in ministry. I remember waking up one night in the middle of the night, and younger, and knew God wanted to say something to me. And all I needed to do was get into the Word. And I had this urgency. So I got up out of the bed in the middle of the night, went into the other room, turned on a lamp, and sat in a chair. And all I needed to do, I just knew God was wanting to say something to me. So I picked up my Bible and I began reading. And the only thing I knew in my natural mind is, well, I know there's something here for me, and I'll know it when I read it, I guess. So I just opened the Bible to Ephesians, and I read the entire book of Ephesians, and never heard anything until I got to the fourth chapter and the first verse of Ephesians. And God was saying to me then, in that moment, in real time, walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith you've been called. That hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like God taking a snapshot of my life, that moment in time, right then at my age and in my level of spiritual development, such as it was even back then, and God encouraging me, walk worthy of your calling, walk worthy of your vocation. That's not a word just to me or just to pastors or ministers or missionaries. That is a word for every child of God. You have a holy calling. Sanctification helps you walk worthy of it. Have I arrived? No. I'm just so very much aware of how much growing there is for me to do, how much more purifying and sanctifying God has in store for me. And I believe that's a large part of what he's doing right now. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I'm going to leave that word with you. I would like for all of you, members and friends of Abundant Life, let us hear from you on our church Facebook page. I know many of you are commenting right now, letting us know you're watching. But I'd like to also mention this. I am aware that you are reaching out and connecting with other people, and I am aware God is saying things to you. A few of you have sent me emails or text and shared with me what God is saying to you. So I would like to extend this initiative to each of you as our church family and friends. If the Lord is giving you a word that's inspired you, encouraged you, comforted you during this time, if it has been a blessing to you, and if you think it will be a blessing to others, share it with the body. Do it on our Facebook page, Abundant Life Church Facebook page, so all of our members and friends can benefit from the word God has given you. I won't call names, but several have reached out to me and Pastor Steve and shared with me some scriptures and some revelation and some words of inspiration and edification, prophetic words. So I encourage you, take advantage of that. If it's been a blessing to you, and if you think it'll be a blessing to others, then share it with the body. Father, thank you for ministering.